views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Whether you're listening live here in the Seattle area on 1150 AM KKNW or anywhere around the world live on Transformation Talk Radio, or perhaps after the fact on one of the various stations this ends up in, including iTunes and ChristineUpchurch.com, you're going to be glad that you joined us here today because we are going to be talking about something that I think is very, very pertinent to the transformation of our planet right now. But before I get into introducing my guest, I want to say hello to the producer over there who does his magic so you can hear the technology, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi there. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. You know, it's really nice that it's not raining at the moment. I'm grateful for that. And I'm already missing the sunshine that we had.
Because you have an umbrella of sunshine around you all the time.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Diana looked at me like, wow, really? Like, man, that guy.
I'll pay you the 20 afterwards, okay?
Small unmarked bills, please.
And our guest today is somebody I know well, and you're going to get to be a fly on the wall to one of our deep, meaningful conversations that you don't normally get to hear. And I'm so grateful she is here today. Diana Clark, she is an author of two children's books, Clearwater Girl and Sarah and the Golden Earring. She is a graduate of the Art Institute of Seattle. She's traveled all around the world. She's an animal lover, and she does these amazing, amazing fortune-telling with these cards I'd never seen before, the most accurate readings I've ever had. And she is also kind of like, we've had this connection that the fact that she was born in Alabama, but she grew up in Texas too, just like I did. And I'm so grateful to have her here today, Diana Clark. Hi, Diana.
Hey, Christine. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so grateful you're here today. And I know that you and I have many a conversation that are just very, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I know all sorts of people in the consciousness realm, you know, the VIPs, as well as people who are lesser known. And you're one of the most evolved people I've ever met.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah. That is quite an honor. Thank you so much. You know, I used to have this little speck in my brain, and I would always wonder, is there ever going to be anyone that will tap into that?
Uh-huh.
And you were one of those. So back at you on that.
Aww.
It's a real privilege whenever you find your tribe of people out there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And finding our tribe is a very important thing,
mm-hmm.
Not just to, you know, fill that hole of loneliness, but rather to connect and inspire us to expand and to co-create on a collective level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what you're doing, is once you become it, you automatically are sending out that vibration, that energy, and likewise people are feeding into that. And so that's how I think that tribe expands more and more. The deeper that you go, the more work that you do on yourself,
uh-huh. Right.
is where it starts.
And of course, Diana, you and I both found this out the hard way. As we go on that path, there are people and situations we need to let go of.
Yes.
Right? And mm-hmm. and that is a hard thing on a human level to do.
Right. And, you know, that begins with a lot of forgiveness. And mm-hmm. I think that starts, number one, with ourselves, forgiveness of oneself. When I'm working with my clients, as you mentioned, you know, I do fortune-telling card readings. And that's a really big one that comes up right away for people is how tough we are on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that so many, well, I'm going to say probably the majority of us, and I know I've had it before too, where we have a tape that's going on in our head that says we are not enough.
Yes.
So when we can forgive ourselves, I think it's much easier to forgive others because it works hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Because when you're forgiving someone else, it really is beneficial for yourself.
Yeah. And oftentimes I think that when we're in toxic situations, it's rarely just like one thing that happens and you have to forgive the person. I mean, that does happen, you know, there are situations, but oftentimes it's something that we put ourselves, a situation we put ourselves into over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that old expression, cross me once, shame on you, cross me twice, shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the shame, but I do believe that when we recognize, and this has happened to me many times, when we recognize that we have kept ourselves in a toxic situation to have our boundaries crossed repeatedly, then it's really our responsibility. So it really is, you know, we're the ones we have to forgive.
Absolutely. And, you know, so much of that, Christine, is around kind of our experience in life. Because I know in the beginning, when I was in my 20s, man, I was a repeater. I repeated and I repeated in my 30s.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Of course not. But then what happens is as you go deeper into your inward journey and you're finding these places of self-forgiveness and forgiving others, and you don't tend to be that much of a repeater the deeper you go, because you're in awareness. And that's the big piece is once I'm in awareness, and if something happens, I'll choose to step away pretty quick. I'm not going to hang in there like I did when I was younger, because life is too valuable to me. My time is too valuable to me. And that doesn't mean that I dump everything out of my life, but I do have a pretty good sense now of what serves and doesn't serve.
And it's funny because I think that if we have that awareness that you're talking about, then it's almost like we've got this observer, you know, that's almost separate, or I mean, it's connected, but it's almost like a separate piece of our conscious ego.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see ourselves doing it. And when we're being a repeater, we get to the point where we can actually laugh at ourselves.
Absolutely.
We have either a levity about it or a compassion towards ourselves. Like, oh, there I am doing it again because I'm feeling a lack, or I'm feeling a hole, or I'm feeling like I needed something from that person or situation to define myself or to make me feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that observer is detached enough that it makes it easier to kind of observe and move on, as opposed to the observer, when we first get into that observer place, it's like, oh my gosh, have I subjected myself to a lot of abuse or a, you know, toxic situation or disconnecting from my authentic self? There's a whole lot more to let go of. But as we get to be more adept at it, it's really a matter of just saying, oh, there I go again. Isn't that amusing, or isn't that sad? And here, let's redirect that.
And I do that a lot. I always find myself laughing at myself. I know that part that you're talking about, which is what I call my lesser mind or my egoic mind, you're never getting rid of it because it does serve the mirroring purpose. And that's what allows us to move into awareness and check out, what are my thought forms about myself? How do I feel about this situation? What do I feel is really in alignment with where I am at today?
Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of where we're at today, I want to talk a little bit about the big picture right now, because I know that many of us who are on our conscious journeys are feeling some inner turmoil based on the external turmoil that is underway. Can you share your perspective on the sort of the big picture of what is going on right now?
Yes. You know, a lot of that is what you are feeding yourself. So I'm going to use a very good example of something I did, which is I stopped watching news, and it's been 5 or 6 years ago, and I've heard a lot of people go, well, then you won't know what's going on in the world. Well, actually, I do. There is so much social media out there that you cannot not know what's going on.
Right.
And what I'll do, the recent shooting that was in Florida is a good example. Like, somebody walked by, and I said, what happened in Florida? And somebody told me, and then, of course, it hits you in the gut.
Right.
I did go online for a second just to see what happened, and that was all I did with it. I never watched it again and didn't do anything. But that night I went home, and when I went to bed, I actually ended up doing, and I always do a gratitude prayer, and I was putting out there the energy of love for all of those people, because yes, it happened to these families, but it happens to all of us. So I'm not in awareness, and so I still have to take care of me, number one. If I come back into work the next day and I'm so incapable of functioning, I'm not really serving anybody.
Right.
But of course, it was the talk of the day. But I try not to get too wrapped up in any of that. So you have to really be in awareness as to what you are letting yourself feed into. And so I always say, I'm in the world, but I am not of it.
Uh-huh.
And I am my own leader. I make my choices that are right for me in high integrity. And that's the big piece of when we get into that inward journey. It really is about making high integrous choices.
Uh-huh.
If I am feeding my mind constantly these horrible things on the planet, you know, I couldn't function.
Right.
And I'm not going to do any good for anybody. Number one, myself, or clients, or anybody that I'm coming into contact with.
Uh-huh.
I have to keep myself in that space of the divine consciousness, which is looking at the world through the eyes of compassion,
uh-huh.
looking at the world through love. And then you see it all real differently. And for me, that's the most important piece. And I have to make high integrous choices to keep myself seated in joy
mm-hmm.
and peaceful decisions. So that's a really big one. That's a big question. It's a great question. You know, how do I feel about what's happening? And I believe everything happens for a reason. I think uh-huh. everyone's exactly where they need to be, from government to anything, and everyone can, you know, put down the USA. But I can tell you this much. I have traveled a lot. Be very happy you live in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Be very happy for what you have here.
And many of our listeners are from other countries.
Yes.
We've had, I think, something like 90 people from 95 different countries uh-huh. get on to the archives on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Diana, I didn't watch the news for probably 12 years. It was the same kind of choice I made.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the sort of thing where if suddenly I found out that there was a tsunami or, you know, something big going on in the world, I might tune in a little
mm-hmm.
bit. I was just such a sensitive that I thought that this puts me off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year ago, I actually got inner guidance that I needed to start following certain aspects of what's going on in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of surprised by it. And I've come to recognize that, generally speaking, I can get detached enough. And it's like I'm watching these things play out. And I know that there is, how do I put this? There is ultimately a resolution that is going to take some of this negative and turn it into a much greater positive
mm-hmm.
than had we been on a different path. And the observer in me is fascinated by this, but there's certain things that I can't look at too much. I mean, for instance, cruelty to animals. Now, I support animal organizations. I support, I make certain choices in my life to be kinder to animals, including some of my consumer choices. However, if I see too much of that, it puts me into a very dark place.
Right.
So I contribute mm-hmm. and I make choices mm-hmm. and I avoid too much of that. Although I think that if we do have the pain within us, it's something that we have to process.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to a quick break, but more with Diana Clark here in just a few moments.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit LetItGoHypnosis.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Diana Clark, and you're getting to be the fly on the wall. And but you know, there will be no swearing or anything like that.
No.
Or yeah.
No.
We'll be good while we're on air. Diana's
Please.
Always good.
It is.
I'm the one.
It makes my job a little easier.
You know. We've been talking about what it means to be on our path and, mm-hmm. and sort of some of the transitions we've been through and mm-hmm. getting to this place of observer and how we need to honor and be in integrity with ourselves on that path. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, Diana, because when I was in my 20s, and that was a few years ago, I thought to myself, you know, I could be really, really happy living up on a mountaintop, you know, being a monk or a nun, or nun is actually within the context of religion. I was sort of going beyond that at that point in terms of my perspective on spirituality. But this concept of being a hermit, I could be very, very centered and very happy. Mm-hmm. And I know today that when I'm in my home and with my cats or my kids, I feel very whole and centered. Mm-hmm. And in my 20s, I thought maybe I should change my life to do that. And I got very direct guidance. No, you're to live in the world.
Exactly.
You're to be a part of it. So why do you think that we play the roles that we do when we're on our paths and we are busy interacting with others and sharing of ourselves with the world at large, even if we're not of the world?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Well, most people I have found actually love their alone time. There are exceptions, but especially if we're talking about people who are more mature and they feel very safe and secure on their own. Uh-huh. It's typically people who are deeply on their path. And I know for myself, I have the same thing. I could be alone so long and never miss anything because my happiness does not depend on anything external.
Right.
While I love people, I love my daughter, I'm very grateful for the things I have in my life. But I really worked on attachment. Mm-hmm. That was the very first piece I worked on so that I could learn to be happy with me. And again, going back to falling in love with oneself, divinely connected, that's the only way it happens. And when I'm saying divine, I am saying that from which we came from, whether you say that it's God or spirit, source, universe, whatever word you want to put in there, pretty much every human I've crossed paths with has a natural inclination to want to be connected to that. Uh-huh. And that's a thing that happens in the heart center. So when we're in that space, those are those places where we become very comfortable with ourselves. But I had a really big hit on that one day because I was thinking, I enjoy this too much, my alone time. And I also thought, am I kind of running away as well? Is it just so comfortable because nothing affects me in this space? And when I go home, I'm in my little haven, my sanctuary, my little things. I love to paint. I mean, I have my little world at home. And so I have reminded myself to always stay in the world. But I don't have to be of it, but I do need to be in it. And when I'm in it, it means that this knowledge that I have now accumulated, that I know I'm here to share with everyone, because you know how it is whenever you get into that amazing place when you're growing and growing, you automatically want to share it with everybody because we know we've all suffered. We all had that fear and that lack and that drama and stress that we created, and we were so fascinated by it. And as you go deeper and deeper and you lose that and you really find yourself, I do believe that you naturally do want to help others, because at the base of who we are, I have found, is we are full of great love.
Yes.
Humans are really full of great love. And I do not believe that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I do believe things will happen, and there could be some very awful things that happen out there. I believe it's all in divine grace, divine timing. And so, yes, the answer to your question is I stay connected to the outside world, with my clients, with other people. It's very important. And any moment that I get the opportunity to talk about this, and you know it's what I talk about all the time, you and me do, it makes a difference for people. Some, and most people haven't even heard it yet. They haven't even heard this.
Interesting. I know, and probably not true about many of our listeners here. And feel free to share the show if you want to help illuminate this for other people as well. But it's really interesting to sort of balance out the taking care of oneself and showing up in the world. And, you know, I, as an energy healer for a decade and a half, however long it's been, I often will look at things from an energetic perspective. And I know that even if we are only in our own little homes, that on a vibrational level, where we're at can affect the entire world. But there's this aspect of just connecting with the divine and not bringing it into the world, in a sense, is not grounding that higher frequency energy.
Right.
And I know we had titled this show Becoming a Lightning Rod for the Divine, because it's really about taking that once used to be this thing we just sort of sought and reached out for and connected with in, you know, in this way of like being in isolation or retreat, to integrating it on a moment-to-moment basis, and that includes bringing it into the world.
Yes, absolutely. And even if I'm looking at the main thing that I'm doing is I do these card readings for people. And I've been doing that my whole life. I was raised with them. I'm third generation. I feel really fortunate for that, because I learned a lot of information that has really helped my ability to deepen through this piece that I'm doing. And so I did, you know, I came out with my own card deck last year, which
really
is
exciting.
Gaelic Lenormand.
And they're beautiful cards.
Thank you. And one of the reasons I actually did that was because I have a wealth of knowledge. And I've run into other people who read Lenormand cards. And so many people have said, when are you going to write a book? And I said, well, it'll be a manual. How do you put that into a book? And, you know, that kind of stuck with me, though. And I went, you know, I need to share this.
Right.
And so I pulled from my Irish Scottish roots, and I came up with this deck with, not by myself, but with a fantastic artist, Erica Wright, who did beautiful digital artwork with me. And so it's not something you just do by yourself, but it was something now I'm able to give back. And interestingly enough, how many of my clients have purchased this deck? And I'm like, it kind of blew me away. I'm like, oh, God, and they're, because they're wanting to learn.
Right.
And so there was that little piece. And I'm now working on a companion book because I see that people are really interested in learning this. So I am doing this companion book now to give more information. And that is how it all goes in that big circle, like you were saying, is that, you know, you are like that lightning rod. You're downloading this wonderful divine information. And it's not enough to just talk about it and say the spiritual lingo. I had to walk it. I had to really make a lot of self-corrections. And it made me deepen. And when I took more ownership of the pieces in my life or in my personality that I didn't care for, I had to do it again and again. And folks, this is not about being perfect, because I'm not perfect. But I now
have
tools.
None of us are.
And I now have tools in place to make those corrections. So when I make my boo-boos, which aren't as often, But when I do, I am very quick to go to someone and say, I am so sorry, because there is something about that, to release that energy. I don't want to carry that around. But yeah, that full circle piece that we're talking about is, you know, you're downloading information, you become it. You're naturally going to be a teacher to some degree, and you want to share it. And then what everyone does with it is really up to them, and everyone does interesting things because it adds to their path, their inward journey. And like I was saying earlier, there are a lot of people who haven't really heard about this. And so I have people go, well, how do you start? Where do you even begin something like that? How do you make that change? Because this is what everyone wants.
Right.
We all want to live in joy.
We do.
We all want to be peaceful, and we definitely want to love ourselves or be loved and share love. And that's in many different forms that can happen.
Yeah. It's funny because this past week I had a closet organizer, designer come into my house, and she's in my closet and she's taking measurements and stuff. And we really hadn't talked too much and you know, except about the design of the closet. And all of a sudden, she gets this introspective look. She pauses, and she said to me, are you a healer? And then she paused again. She said, are you an artist? And I said, well, why do you say that? She says, I just feel so good in your presence, right? And so there we are designing a closet, and it shifts into a situation in her own life that she's having difficulty with. And there I am sort of listening and coaching and just sort of showing up. And I think that when we're on our path, when we are being authentically ourselves, that we have opportunity after opportunity, even if it isn't like a formal reading session or me doing a presentation or even being on the radio. It's just a matter of in that moment, the universe has set something up, this synchronous event for you to show up fully for another person or vice versa. It's like this beautiful orchestration. And it just was a good reminder for me that I'm happiest when I am showing up in the moment. And yes, I love to do the more organized things such as the radio show and speaking in front of audiences and coaching people. But really, it's a matter of where am I at in this moment? Am I authentic and am I sharing myself?
Right. You had so many good points in there, but the one that's really sticking in my mind is even though, you know, my readings, and I don't even say formal, but, you know, people make their appointments, they come in for a reading, and always at the end of the reading, the thing that is just across the board, everyone is so grateful and so thankful. And then I always go, well, thank you. And they go, well, why are you thanking me? And I go, are you kidding? I just sat for 1 hour with you and we went into everything. I mean, your deepest secrets were in these cards. And you shared this, and there was no judgment, and it was so beautiful. I just walked away. I was learning so many things, that the things you went through and how that affects me. So it is, it's always, you know, teacher, student, and it shows up in many different ways in life.
Yeah. And I really think that to be a good teacher, we had to be a student at the School of Hard Knocks sometimes. We have to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Diana Clark.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Tune in to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
And it sure feels good to finally feel the way I do. Now I want to love somebody like you.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. We're having a great conversation both on air and off. Boy, you'd like to be a fly on the wall then too, wouldn't you? You know, before the break, Diana, I was talking about learning the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
I think that the difficulties we go through can be very transformational experiences.
Absolutely.
Do we have to learn in the school of hard knocks?
No. And that's one of my big revelations that I had shared with you over this past year. It started actually when my car was stolen.
Yes. And let me just say, let me proceed this by saying you'd been talking about how it was just about time for you to get a new car, but you were going to wait a year.
Okay? Yes. And I had put that out to the universe. And so I should have been more clear, like a let it be, like when I'm ready. I don't want it to get stolen. So I looked out the window, dropped my F-bomb. You know, I am not perfect.
Uh-huh.
And then I immediately, because I'm now accustomed to doing the work, uh-huh. and I just went, what is this about me? What am uh-huh. I supposed to be learning here?
Right.
And then I even went into a compassionate moment for, oh, how awful that must be to live like that where you'd actually steal a car.
Right.
That must be so stressful.
Uh-huh.
And then I went through the grieving process and hating these people. Yeah. I went through the whole gamut.
And you not only lost your car, but there were some very significant items in your car, right?
Yes. And now I never kept any valuables in my car, but I had sentimental things.
Uh-huh.
The car, by the way, was recovered about 6 weeks later. And believe it or not, and of course, the people who had it was pretty dirty and stuff, but not in horrible shape. The few items I wanted, for whatever reason, they had put in a bag in the back. And I opened up it like one of those grocery bags.
Uh-huh.
I opened it up and I went, oh my gosh, you know, I'm just like, that's what I wanted. And one of them was a Navajo wedding basket. It was very small
uh-huh.
and was very sentimental. I'd had it many, many years. And I thought how interesting that they didn't touch that. And I had another piece, which was like a native horse with a spiral in its belly.
Uh-huh.
They were both very significant kind of spiritual type objects I had in my car. it was in there. And I went, now, how interesting. These are the only two pieces, especially the Navajo wedding basket, that had really any value.
Uh-huh.
And, the, you know, I ride horses, so I had my helmets were in there, my boots, because I'm thinking, what are they going to do in Seattle with my riding boots and my helmet? And so all of those items were recovered. But going back to, it made me stop a moment and think, I didn't need to learn the things I was learning that way.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, this big thing came into my mind of, because we're always saying when horrible things happen, there is meaning to them. And of course, we can choose to grow and or we can choose not to and be victims. When you get the choice. And there are some horrible things that can happen. The loss of a child. I mean,
oh,
there's
yes.
things that when I put those in that category, even I have to go, oh, boy, now that's a big one to chew off.
Yeah,
okay.
No kidding.
But I did come to the place where I started thinking, I don't need to learn by that. I don't need to have horrible events happen to me. I really am, I feel, evolved enough or enlightened enough to learn by inspiration and not desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a really big turnaround for me, which, and this has just recently happened because, you know, you're forever learning this stuff. You're learning and growing and deepening.
Right.
And you're getting lighter and lighter and lighter as you have these amazing realizations. And, you know, they say that right now with this shifting of energy on the planet, we're supposed to be in this fifth dimensional energy right now regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really where my thoughts went. And when I was thinking about that and kind of meditating on that, I did feel kind of like I was standing on a little pentacle. I think I shared this with you where I felt like this light was just coming off of me. So I knew that that piece I was really working on, that it's true. It's the truth. Because you know how when you hear something, you know it's the truth the minute you hear it.
Right.
And I knew, okay, we don't have to have horrible things on this planet. We really have the ability to be more than that, to learn in different ways, to process differently.
And I also think that it's not just about the vibration we're in and what we're sending out there in terms of our desires. It also relates to how well we listen to the wisdom of the universe, how well we listen to those inner messages. And, you know, a couple times you talked about needing to get rid of your car. It felt to me like the universe was saying to you, it's time.
Yep.
It's time.
And it was.
And so you had planned out, okay, well, this makes sense financially a year from now. And of course, how it unfolded, you got a great new car and all this stuff because they didn't recover it in time. And I know it worked out well for you, but I often wonder if you had just sort of understood that the universe was saying, yeah, maybe it's now. Now's the time to get the new car.
Exactly.
That perhaps it would have been a different kind of unfolding event, of events.
And it was because, see, actually right during that time was when I was going to be driving from here to Maine. You remember that trip I was going to do? And so it would make sense to have a brand new car and just be worry-free.
Yes.
And so, I see, you're right. I didn't really pay attention to that part because not that I was going to drive my car. I was actually going with my aunt. We were going to drive her Honda Fit, which was about 6 years old at the time. So it wasn't brand new, but still, but my car's much more comfortable. And when we did that trip, and it did take that whole trip because I wasn't joyful when I bought that car. I did it because I had to. And not that I was grateful I had the means by which to do the whole thing.
Sure.
But driving back is when it hit me and I went, I am so grateful. Oh, I love this car. I finally could enjoy it because I loved my old CRV that was a 2001 that was well-maintained and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you're right. Exactly. Had I paid attention more, I think it could have unfolded differently for me.
Yeah. And I think that so many of us would like to control it. So we only have those experiences that we want. And yes, as we shift into that connection, more and more of those experiences feel positive. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to experience some things that that are difficult or that where we really, really have to let go. And not just the death of a loved one, because, you know, death is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the most difficult things I think we do as a human is to let go. But other things too, it's like we cannot control the world. And those of us who have been working within the realm of manifestation for decades sometimes get frustrated by that. But there's this dance where we really do need to acquiesce to the wisdom of the universe. And sometimes that'll come through wisdom where we'll know what we're supposed to do and act upon it. And other times it may actually blindside us a little, but we need to be able to kind of like, you know, dip and turn as the universe takes us that direction.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's why, you know, using the car as the example, when it was stolen, that is why I went immediately into me.
Uh-huh.
And I do this actually with everything, and it is a practice. And so if something happens, a good example is if you were upset with me, Christine, uh-huh. and you came to me, well, I can do two things. And if my old self would have been defensive uh-huh. and would have not taken ownership and right. argued back with you, but my new self would say, oh, you know, thanks, Christine, for bringing that to my attention. You know, I wasn't thinking of that. Let uh-huh. me, I need to process this a minute, and mm-hmm. then I can apologize, make corrections, yeah. and learn. But when I was my old self, I didn't have the tools by which to pull from to do it that way.
Yeah,
I would have, you know, been that defensive person. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I always look at myself. I'm very good at it, but it was a lot of practice.
Sure.
To stop doing the blame game, blaming somebody, something mm-hmm. for why I'm miserable and being the victim to it all.
Yeah.
You know, and again, once you start on this path, it is one thing after another, and the grand opportunities to deepen, mm-hmm. grand opportunities to practice. And it's hard at first. We've got these things we automatically do.
And I'm thinking about that kind of situation where we get really defensive. I was thinking about, you know, my marriage that I left a number of years ago that was so dysfunctional. And really, my reactivity within it was because I felt so unloved.
Mm.
And when I got to a place understanding I can love myself and really started doing that better and understanding that I wasn't going to get what I needed from that relationship, that hole was no longer as big, and I was no longer expecting him to fill the hole that was still there. And that really shifted things, because it's this concept of, you know, our defensiveness relates to us fearing that we're not going to get something we need. And oftentimes that just relates to love.
Absolutely. And I think that the two big pieces that I always see doing card readings is fear and lack.
Uh-huh.
And those are the two pieces. And it really, a lot of it comes around fear of being alone. Mm-hmm. If you cannot be happy alone by yourself, that's where you need to start doing the work.
Yeah.
You have to be happy with you. You have to fall in love with you. And they have proven scientifically the same chemical reaction happens in the human body when you fall in love with you as what happens when you fall in love with another person.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a fascinating piece there. Mm-hmm. And then the piece around, you know, that fear of being alone. The other one is lack of money. That's a huge one.
Right.
And so people do stay in that suffering piece, and they are very fascinated with drama and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either in that ballpark or you are in your divine love of self, peaceful living,
mm-hmm.
and you've chosen joy, and joy is different than happiness.
Yes.
There's things in the world that can make me happy, but not all the time, just like in relationship.
Sure.
That other person can't make me happy. I make me happy, but I want the right partner that's a complete whole person, and I'm a complete whole person. And when you come together, you can do great things on the planet together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that, you know, when we're younger, we're looking for someone to complete us, which is in itself a little bit of a sick thought if we really think about that.
Definitely. It's about lack and, mm-hmm, and lack. Need and really lack of self-love.
Yes.
We have to go to another quick break, but when we return, Diana, I'm going to want to talk to you about the importance of our bodies and in grounding this divine energy.
Okay.
More with Diana Clark here in just a few moments.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
The knowledge book currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW in the Seattle area and, of course, Transformation Talk Radio. If you want to share the show after the fact, go to ChristineUpchurch.com and you'll find the archives there on the radio show page. So, Diana, I know we've got more to talk about, but before we get to that, I want to make sure that people know how they can connect with you.
Okay. Well, I always use my Facebook page, which is the Gaelic Lenormand by Diana Clark.
How do you spell
Gaelic
Lenormand?
Is a Lenormand.
Yeah, spell both of them for people.
The Gaelic is G-A-E-L-I-C, and Lenormand is L-E-N-O-R-M-A-N-D, by Diana Clark, of course. Or they can reach me at 425-869-1330.
Why don't you repeat that one more time?
425-869-1330.
You know, we've been talking about bringing in the high frequency divine energy and sharing it with others and processing our shadow side and bringing it more into our lives and our realm. How does the body play into all of this in terms of grounding this frequency?
Because when we're learning things, there is a process of how am I going to get this grounded into me? Mm-hmm. And stay in my body.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the pieces I've shared with you that I'm really noticing is people being kind of out of their bodies and not
yes.
really present.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that, and we all experience it, you go to a grocery store, the checker, is it really there? They haven't eaten, they may go high or whatever, but they're not connected with you. There's no eye connection. There's no connection.
They're a pod person half the time.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
And you see it with people walking down the street on a cell phone and uh-huh. literally not even looking up, just assuming you're stopping.
Uh-huh.
And we all see this. Yes. And, you know, I love technology, but there are places in there where I think it is making people lose their ability to connect. It's the same like when I get on an elevator, and you know, you and I are Texas girls, so we chat people up.
We do.
Beware. And so when I first moved to the Northwest, that was one of the first things I noticed. I got in an elevator, and I'm looking around. I went, good morning. And most of the time, they won't even look up.
Yes.
And they stay on those cell phones with earbuds in so they don't have to connect.
Uh-huh.
And you can look over, and they're flipping through Facebook or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it's like on purpose. And they just do not want anyone to get into their space. And or at least that's how I'm reading it. They're not interested in connecting, or they'll be standing right where the buttons are and not even move out of the way so you can push your button. You can see how they're real removed.
So what does this have to do with grounding the higher frequency vibration?
It has to do with being present, being in awareness.
Uh-huh. And so, if you're just looking at Facebook, then you're not necessarily connected with your present moment or your body, is what you're saying.
Yes, or anything. It can be anything where you're not presently looking at someone, that I'm in awareness. I am aware that I'm having a conversation with you. Uh-huh. I've got eye contact.
Right.
I'm actually responding to what you're saying. I'm going to give another quick example of another thing that I do in my life, where people are filling out paperwork a lot. Uh-huh. And I repeat the same exact thing to each person, and nobody, it doesn't matter if they're a business person or what their walk of life is, uh-huh, every person signs and dates and hands it back to me. And I just said, you got to fill out this and you need to fill out this.
So they don't complete it as instructed.
Exactly. And it's everybody. And I noticed this really a lot in the last 5 years. And it's even being on telephones, because, you know, I'm on the phones quite a bit. Uh-huh. And it's that same thing of repeating the same thing so many times that sometimes I go, do you have a pen and paper? Or I just actually put them on hold to give them a moment to, like, got to get present here. You got to connect with me.
But I think that there's another aspect of this, Diana, where it has to do with the fact that we in some ways are becoming a little less auditory and more visual in nature. It's like, one of the things I've recognized in my business is I've got all this audio stuff, right? Because I do these interviews and I am interviewed as well. And I need to sort of step up my game and do more and more video, because people want to be able to see it. So we're connected to the visuals. So I think that there is this disconnection to the auditory information we get sometimes.
Well, definitely. And even, but the visual does play into that, because that was one of the things I just said, is that if I'm connecting to you, uh-huh, I'm looking at you.
Right.
You know I'm connected. I'm seeing, oh, she has the blue eyes. Uh-huh. I can hear her voice. I'm engaged.
Yes.
And I want to be there because I want to know, what did you say? And, hey, I'm learning. You might be telling me something here really important. And and we all can get distracted. And
I might be making a funny face at you, too.
Exactly. And I have to catch you when you do that. But in those moments when, if I get distracted, I will usually turn to someone and go, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I was so caught up in that. Can you please repeat what you just said?
Yeah.
Something like that, so that you know it was important to me. I do care.
Uh-huh.
And so the visual part is important. I'm reading your body language, and you're reading mine.
Sure.
You're looking to see, is Diana really interested in what I'm saying? Is she even present right now? Is she out of her body? And if she's out of her body, what can I do to help pull her back in?
Okay, so beyond just being more aware and present in the moment, how else can we ground the higher frequency vibration in our bodies?
Well, I practice with tools. I do a lot of deep breathing.
Uh-huh.
I do a lot of earthing, which is where you kick your shoes off and you walk outside. And we get to do it a lot here in the Northwest because it's wet, which is really good. I walk around in that moss outside.
I don't know. Being from Texas originally, I don't really relish the idea of taking my socks and shoes off when it's 45 degrees and wet.
Yeah, but it's so beneficial. And for people who live in hot climates, you have a beach. That's even the best.
Uh-huh.
All that ground up crystal in the sand, all that wet, it's fantastic. And everyone, you'll see, we've all done it. You walk on the beach in your shoes. Yeah, it's beautiful, blah, blah, blah. I kick my shoes off.
Yes.
And what do we all do? We go, oh, because it gets us back and present in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And so I practice these things. I practice doing meditations.
Mm-hmm.
I do gratitude praying. I do ceremonies. I've done everything. All of these things keep me very much in my body, because you cannot go deep when you're outside the body.
Yeah. And I actually feel like I can go very deep when I'm outside of my body. And I and you're talking about the connection with the heart. I'm often connected more with the crown chakra.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know it's really important for me to ground this in my body. And so I will consciously do things like make a point of putting on some music and then dance when I feel like dancing. There are times recently where I've just had fun or have been able to move some negative energy by doing some spontaneous kickboxing, which I have to make sure my cats aren't around at the time or my kids aren't watching, because otherwise, you know, it could cause problems. But it's kind of like just being able to move that energy, because if the energy is coming in, it needs to make it to the earth, and it needs to make it into the humans it's already here with the animals. The animals are grounding a lot of that. However, if we're really going to bring that divine energy and help to restructure the energetics of our planet, we need to ground it into ourselves, and that includes our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you were talking about, you know, if you're talking about things of the crown chakra, or like when I'm doing a reading, I'm in a little different space because I've dropped into my space where I read. I'm not going to walk around, though, in that space because now I'm very aware and present with the person I'm reading with because that's the connection. But it's definitely, you know, you're in your third eye. You're in there deep. But the minute the reading ends and I have to kind of defrag from it. So when the person leaves, I give myself that time to get deeply back in my body.
Yeah. And I actually like to be in this place of going back and forth as I'm driving the car and getting downloads and stuff. Yeah. So yeah. Watch out for me on the roads. Diana Clark, it's been great having you here. It's a fascinating conversation, and I'm glad that you're in my life. I'm glad that you've been able to share your wisdom with our listeners today.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.